Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest is Twitch's own Beckness. It's Beck Petratus.
I clapped myself. I just need everyone to know the clap started over here, and I regretted it immediately.
We also have the host of the Gamey Gamey Gaming Show. It's Evan Munro Smith.
Hello.
I started that one for Evan.
I tried Thank to you. Say that Thank right, you. And I still said it wrong, Evan. And finally this week, first time guest, it's multi-award winning cabaret star Geraldine Quinn.
Hi. Much more Woo! Multi-award nominated.
Multi-award losing cabaret star. thanks so much for joining us. It's Beck's birthday, everybody.
Yay! So you're going to let me win.
Ooh,
oh,
like
what
that.
A beautiful gift.
But that's the thing about this game is that we couldn't, if we tried, we couldn't let you win, right?
You got to try, though.
Because we don't, unless you,
I need
unless
this.
You just put Beck after each answer. It's
yeah.
like dash Beck.
Yeah, happy yeah, birthday, Beck.
Yes. Yes. Pity answers. Let's do it.
So the way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question. Our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one, and they have to guess which one is correct. The first question comes from listener Anya Kogis, or Anya Koyus, from Brunswick, Whanganui in New Zealand. And Anya's question is, what does the word bumfuzzle mean?
Mm.
What does the word bumfuzzle mean? While they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant, and another point if you correctly guess the answer. And by the way, I'm also playing as the house, and I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question, and I get a point for each one of these that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 3 points per round, which seems fair, but the probability actually favors me, the house, and the house always wins. Actually, I'm on a pretty... I had like a 3 month losing streak, but I think I've had a few wins lately, so it's all turning around for the house. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters, and if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, which is linked in the show notes.
Gosh, these two take a long time, don't they, Matt? Beck and Evan are just and you're smashing away with two thumbs.
Points like, for speed for Geraldine.
I've found out that I'm very bad at typing.
With two thumbs or with one thumb?
With any just, type.
Just words.
The quick on a phone specifically. I'm just bad at it. I don't know how I get good at it. I'm like, maybe I should be swiping more, but then it's really inaccurate. I feel like an old man. I feel like I've just like not.
No.
You need like.
The kids can just like.
Well, remember like, did you ever learn like a keyboard? I had like. Ultra key was how we Ultra learned how to key. Type on things.
There's I learned, like, games. I did Mavis yeah, Beacon. I did Mavis Beacon, teacher's
Maybe
typing.
Maybe you need that for your dumb thumbs now?
Maybe I do.
That's a good idea.
Evan and his dumb thumbs.
So I really liked swiping, but for some, I think my algorithm's wrong or something, and it just keeps throwing out the wrong word, and no, every second word I have to just reset.
Hey, you have other skills.
Very sweet of you to say, Geraldine. All right, the answers are in for question number one. What does the word bumfuzzle mean? The fine hair on a bumblebee. Colloquial word for the fluffy, soft hair that grows anywhere other than the head, especially on the upper lip of teenage boys. Mm-hmm. To confuse or fluster someone. a native bird in Scotland, Scottish slang for car exhaust backfire, or a soft downy coverage on the posterior. So you've got... We got, what do we got? Three.
It's a lot soft to consider.
Hair, yeah.
Options.
That's a lot.
We got two Scottish options.
That seems...
And we've got confuse or fluster. So you got fine hair of a bumblebee, fine hair anywhere but the head, to confuse or fluster someone, native Scottish bird, Scottish slang for a car, exhaust backfire, or soft downy coverage on the posterior.
It just immediately, my head goes to bum. Mm-hmm. Because the word starts with bum.
You're human. You know? You're only human.
And I like bum... Fluff.
I mean, bum fluff is a thing, so that's why bum fuzzle feels different.
Bum fluff feels more internal.
Internal?
If you've got internal bum fluff, you need to see a medical professional.
How far does hair go?
Is it like an ingrown hair? Or...
I mean, all hair is technically internal. It comes out of you.
That's true.
I just mean...
It just depends on the direction it's
growing. Yeah, exactly. I just mean, I feel like bum fluff to me is like more around the center of a hole. What's the rating on this podcast? Whereas I think bum fuzzle feels like the outer cheeks to me.
Are we discussing amongst ourselves what we think is
you
right?
You can,
are
yeah.
We each, I don't know.
We're individually voting,
are we
right?
Each,
yeah, you individually.
Because I know what I want to
do. Oh, you want to lock in?
All right. Yeah, I want to lock in the confusion one.
See, I was thinking that too.
Just because I do think Bex, as the birthday girl, correct, and I'm not just saying that because it's your birthday. I think that the bum is fuzzling us as to the actual.
It feels like we're being tricked.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like
it's too obvious.
It's too obvious. Mm. And I'm overcomplicating it. In saying that, having two answers from Scotland feels like you're trying to throw us in some weird way as well, which I don't understand.
Oh, that's so good. Good point.
But that's probably just coincidental, right?
How could it be coincidental?
Well, maybe the house already had a Scottish one and then Geraldine threw in a Scottish one.
That's true. That could have happened.
Did you put
Would Matt make up two Scottish ones?
Did you put a Scottish
maybe
one?
Maybe I did. I don't know.
Now I don't know.
I don't know why there are six answers and when I thought there was going to be four.
I did also think that it's harder to guess.
Well, because
I put in two, there's the real one, and there's your three.
Why did you put two in? Oh. Why did you put in two?
Well, it's to bum fuzzle us.
Egging the pudding. The pudding's all eggy now.
Well, if you want to know my logic, and you don't need to, but it's so that I can ensure there's one believable and one funny-ish answer in every round.
Oh, because didn't trust us to come up with funny.
Well, you might do three funny ones, or you might do three believable ones.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
No. Yeah, true. He knows what he's doing.
This is episode 60, all right?
It's my first one, and I've just swanned right in and gone, actually, do it this way.
It's funny how often that happens.
60 episodes? You still haven't worked out who knew it yet? I'm going to go.
That could go in a promo, Evan. That was very good.
I was tossing up between the confuse one and the Scottish bird one was my backup. So I'm going to go, if Geraldine's going the confusing, I'll go the Scottish bird.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can go the same, but I'll...
Yeah, I just thought
For the sake of the game.
For fun.
Yeah.
Gamey, game. For the sake of the game.
Yep.
For the love of the game.
The love of the game.
Yep.
I feel like I have to go butt fluff. Like it's the right thing to do.
Was that
posterior?
An option?
Yeah, the posterior.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Soft downy coverage.
Sorry, no, I thought...
It's too fancy.
I thought you meant the one that was around anything but the head. But this was specifically
a posterior. Bum. Yeah, it was the light hair on a posterior.
Right.
Which is a lovely way of describing it. It feels like what would be in dictionary.com.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say butt hair. So, I don't know.
More's the pity.
All right. Well, here's who wrote the answers. Fine hair on a bumblebee. That was Evan Munro Smith.
I thought that would have been a Beck.
It does sound like a fanciful, silly thing I'd say. But are you rubbing off on me?
I forgot I should have steered you to that, and I didn't. I feel like I was steering you to a Scott. Anyway, it's fine.
But, you know, it's...
I'm learning the game still.
But sometimes, you know, if you're steering them to something, you might be steering them away from it as well. And now you've planted that in their heads, which I think is genius play.
That's very smart.
Scottish slang for a car exhaust backfire. That was the house. Colloquial word for fluffy soft hair. That was Anya, aka the house.
Oh! I mean, good one, Anya. That is what it should be.
A bird native to Scotland, Never mind for that. That's Beck. Happy birthday, Beck. Beautiful
See?
Present.
Now I swayed you towards Scotland. Welcome to Scotland, idiot.
So, it's exactly as Evan said. I just happen to have one that was Scottish.
That is so weird.
I think it's just something about Scotland is, you know, it's like it's England's, what, no one would write England for a game like this, but Scotland's like, it's more interesting.
And it's slightly...
It's just more interesting.
It's slightly more exotic.
Yeah, it is exotic, yeah.
And you're like, oh, it could be... Like, I vaguely know it could be something... Anyway, all my answers are going to be Scotland from now on.
Beck, you went for a soft Danny coverage on the posterior. That was Geraldine Quinn.
Oh, hello, yes. Dictionary.com.
Hello, literature degree.
meaning, Geraldine Quinn was correct. It's to confuse or fluster someone.
I get like DOS points.
So you get DOS points.
I almost did that.
Awesome.
You were so close to doing that. Beck gets UN points. Is that the same language?
Doesn't matter. You know points? What? You know what? We're global.
Okay.
We're global. This podcast's global.
See. all right. We're up to question number two. But Geraldine does take a lead into round two. Evan and the house on 0 points, Beck on 1 point, Geraldine on 2 points. Question two is, which of these are real species of fish? So you've just got to come up with a fake name for a species of fish.
Oh, okay.
And while you're writing your answers, here's some more info on bumfuzzle. And you write, this is a fun word grandparents used to use back in Matt's day. All right, Anya. All right. Okay, hang on.
I don't know. It's my birthday today. I get it. I'm same age now. What am I doing? Continue.
Anya puts it in a sentence for us saying, I was building in me shed and went to use my hammer, but it wasn't there. It wasn't where I left it. I'm feeling bumfuzzled right now. I walked around bumfuzzled trying to look for it. Oh, now I get it. Thank you, Anya. It's fantastic. All right, the answer for question number two. Which of these is a real species of fish? Curly boy. Squim. Brandenburg eel. Horny head chub. The round mound of flounder. Or Scottish harlow.
Which one's real?
Scotland's happening again.
Scotland's really having a moment.
It's really... Scotland's like so in right now.
We've got to put a stop to it.
You must stop Scotland before it becomes too powerful. Could you repeat them for me, please?
Sure can. Curly boy.
Fuck, curly boy's good.
Squim. Brandenburg eel. Horny head chub. The round mound of flounder. Or Scottish harlow.
I know. As a musician, as a lyricist, the round mounded flounder is wonderful to say.
Right? Yeah, a bit of fun.
Like, I genuinely, hand on heart, would say I think only one of those I've ever heard before. Ooh. But I do love the sound of round. I love the sound of round mounted flounder.
Yeah, round mounted flounder.
So that I'm kind of hanging my hat on that, but I mean, I do tend to kind of make a choice early. It's because there's so little of my life left. I got to get on with shit. So any.
There's no time for messing about.
But that
there. But you reckon you might know. Be familiar with one of these? Are you some sort of a fish expert?
I wouldn't call myself
a lover of fish.
I wouldn't call myself an ichthyopolis. I don't know if it's ichthy something, the fish thing.
Oh.
ICH something something.
Oh, because they're icky.
No.
ICH. Oh, no.
I know herpetologist is snakes, and yes. We know that entomologist is insects.
Yes.
Oh. Ichthyophile.
Ichthyophile. Oh. I know ichthyophile.
Wow.
But I've heard of fish.
But what's the bird one? Did you say that one already?
I didn't. That's an ornithologist, though.
Ornithologist, yeah.
Ornithologist.
They fucked these up. It should have just been fish person,
bird
person.
Yeah.
But you get to say ichthyophile. And it would also, if you fail to say it, we would have a good indicator of whether or not you are having a frontal lobar stroke.
Oh, good. It's good to know.
Good to know. F-A-S-T.
What are you thinking, Beck? Any of these standing out to you?
Look. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I play Animal Crossing.
Oh, so you've got an advantage here.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been fishing a lot in Cult of the Lamb this week as well.
Do they have real fish in Cult of the Lamb, or have they got like, what's the first one?
Curly Boy.
Curly Boys.
I wish. That sounds like more of a Stardew Valley kind of a name.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds like such a funny put, like you're just looking down your nose. And, that's more of a Stardew Valley kind of name.
I'm just angling to get us back on Gamey Game, 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 Game.
I think that show needs to exist before you can be on it.
Damn.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Story of my life.
So I think.
I'm saying it still exists, of course.
Yeah.
So do you, are you saying, well, are you saying you recognize one of these?
I just know a chub is a fish.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
I think. Or I'm wrong. And that's the game.
That's all you can do in life.
So is it a horny...
Horny head chub.
I think horny head chub.
An eel is a fish as well.
Hmm.
As is a flounder.
I forgot about it. Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's a harlow. A harlow. And boys, of course, can be fish too.
That's, you can have boy fish.
That's the thing. When you're a boy, you're told that. Hey, you can be a fish too.
Unless you're like a clownfish and you can sort of change genders as well, can't you? There's a few fish that can change gender.
Squim? I think that rings a bell.
It sounds like it could be a fish.
Could be a fish.
I just want to stress that gender is a construct. So
okay.
It's fluid.
Well, you've just alienated half our audience.
Or have I?
Yeah.
Which half of the audience?
Yeah. Come on.
The conservatives?
Oh, yes. Get out of here.
I can't, Beck. I need to do the show.
Point. I want to also say I pointed at you as I said that. And that
get out of here.
Some terrible superpower that I don't
get
want.
Get out of here.
Chub.
You're doing the chub?
That was an award-nominated comedy right there.
Whoa. All right, Beck's locking in the chub. What do you think it has?
Fuck.
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I'm inclined to go with the silly one because it sounds too silly.
Which one's the silly one?
I mean, there's a bunch of silly ones. I think the silliest one is maybe Curly Boy sounds probably the least like a real fish. But maybe that's just a red herring.
Bam!
That's a fish. I'm very slow today. I can't believe I didn't. I chose chub. There was flounder. Keep talking.
I'm gonna go Curly Boy. I'm not gonna play it safe. I'm taking a risk.
All right, that leaves you, Geraldine.
Yeah.
Geraldine already said.
Flounder.
Oh, you wanted to lock in the flounder.
Yeah.
All right, locking that in. Here's who wrote the answers. Scottish Harlow. That was Evan Munro Smith.
Oh, that's so good.
You Hibernian
that's
trickster.
So funny.
Brandenburg eel. That's Geraldine Quinn.
Oh, Brandenburg. Yeah, sounds posh, doesn't
that's
it?
That's a classy eel. A squim, that was Beck Petratus.
I realised afterwards, I'm like, that's just Geraldine sometimes. That's Quim.
Quim.
Oh. Something weird happened.
I'm also known as Quim, which is the Elizabethanish word for vulva.
Oh.
Oh.
I went up Kenneth Williams over there for a second.
The round mound of flounder Geraldine went for, that was the house. And I've really just stolen Charles Barkley's nickname of the round mound of rebound.
Congratulations. Wow.
Charles, if you're listening. Curly Boy, which Evan went for, that was Ange, the question writer, a.k.a. the house, meaning the correct answer is the horny head chub.
Chub, 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 chub. I love chubs. The fish, that sounds like a terrible sentence. I'm not thinking, okay, good.
I love chubs. Let's get the isolate that sound.
Let's get the t-shirts made right now.
I love jokes. So after two rounds, it's Evan on 0 points, Beck on 2 points, the house on 2 points, and Geraldine on 2 points.
Wow.
So no winner yet, but clearly a loser so far.
That was a tough one though, because like as you said, chub is a real fish, eel is a real fish, squim sounds like a real fish, but that's because it sounds like squid.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing you could have believed all of those.
Everything I came up with was a real fish.
And here is question number three. This one comes from Will Wegley from Erie, Pennsylvania. Ugh. And he's written a local question. I love it when the questions are from the neighborhood. Well, their neighborhood. Will writes, a company was founded in Erie, Pennsylvania in 2020, marketing a unique food or drink product. What is it called? What is it? And what is its slogan? So you got
a company?
It's a company that makes a unique food or drink product. You got to give it a name, a short description of what the product is, and a slogan. This is the first time I've had a question like
that. So we're naming the product or the company? Or is that we're sort of saying it's like Coke or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. While you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a little bit more about Beck's favourite, Horny Head Chubbs. According to Ange, the Horny Head Chub is a moderately large, moderately large doesn't mean anything, slender cylindrical minnow with a rather large, nearly horizontal mouth. A small conical barbel.
Barbel?
B-A-R? B-E-L? Is that barbel?
Oh, wow. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. That's present in the corner of its mouth, though.
It's like barbell, right? Is it like one of those, like...
Oh.
Like a little sharp thing to get you?
Maybe it's a little sharp thing to get you.
I don't know.
And it's conical.
Oh.
The back and upper sides.
No. Barbels are a group of small carp-like freshwater fish, so it's actually genus Barbus.
Oh.
Does that make sense in that sentence?
It gets a little fisher in its mouth? I don't know what that means.
Oh, look, I don't know.
That's it doesn't matter.
Let's just keep talking about the chub.
The back and upper sides of the chub are olive brown with large dark edge scales, giving a cross-hatched effect.
Mm.
The lower sides and belly are yellowish-white. Males commonly have tubercles, which are bony projections, on top of the head and a prominent red spot behind the eye. Total length of the chub is 5 to 7 inches, with a maximum of about 10 inches.
I was just checking if Evan had any of that stuff.
I was not paying attention.
All right, the answers are in for question number 3. A company was founded in Erie, Pennsylvania in 2020, marketing a unique food or drink product. What is it called? What is it? And what is its slogan? Aqua Vitality, which is aged urine. And the slogan is, we serve you. We double E. Wheaties, a wheat and marijuana-based breakfast cereal. Slogan, start your day the chilled-out Wheaties way.
That's good shit.
We got Protocol, a high-protein, high-alcohol beverage for gym-junkie party animals. Slogan, spiked protein, work hard so you can play hard.
That's great. That's so good.
Red Hot Chili Pickles, spicy whole pickles with various levels of heat, with the slogan, slam a hot one.
I love the way you delivered that just then.
Pennsylvanian Steamed Cookie. It's a cookie that is self-warming in the package with the slogan, warm and fresh, like mum used to make.
Hang on, how does it self-warm?
Well, it doesn't go into the science, okay, Evan. Right. It's just a brief description of the product.
Okay, I think you should know, though, if it's real.
It turns suspicious.
Well,
was that all of it?
Or would you?
I will explain the real product in more detail after.
Yes, the cookie,
you mean,
right?
If it's the real
one? At this point, you can speculate as much as you like, but I can't give too much away.
So is that all of them?
I think you just did.
Oh, sorry, there's another one.
The final option is pizza cake. 8 pizzas stacked on top of each other so that it has the height and density of a cake with the slogan, the goodness of a whole pizza in every slice. It's a pizza cake.
Fuck, that's good. That's good. That's really good.
That is very good.
That's so good. Whoever did that. If that's real.
Oh, my God.
Hey, just 2020?
2020.
Yeah, that's definitely the vibe of 2020 as well. Just like, oh, we'll put a bunch of pizzas. Have you seen those fairy floss cakes as well? They make me laugh.
No.
Oh, fairy floss cake is so funny because it's just like a circular thing of fairy floss and people like cut it like a cake, but it is just fairy. We all lost our minds in 2020 way.
Why would anyone do that?
I don't know.
It's a lot lighter than a cake.
Do they hate the knife? So you at least get like a crusty.
I think they do that. Oh, no, they don't. No, that's a great idea.
Because like, the sugar would melt as the knife went through and you'd get a bit of a textural difference.
No, mostly what I've seen is.
Oh, let's workshop this.
I've seen people complaining they get them in the mail and they've shrunk and it's like, yeah.
But yes, people send them.
Yeah, in the mail.
Jeez.
Anyway.
That's no good.
That's not the product.
So can you run through the options?
And by the way, before you run through the options again, because you have a global audience, fairy flosses is
cotton candy.
Did you know this? I learned this recently. The original name for cotton candy was fairy floss.
Oh, really?
Because it's the better name.
That was the guy who invented it, called it fairy floss, and then it, yeah. I guess for some reason we held on to the original.
Yeah, right.
Cotton candy makes me feel ill because it makes me think I'm eating something I shouldn't eat. Yeah. Either. Fairies? You can eat fairies all the time.
It's floss. It's good for your teeth.
It's delicious.
every morning.
So you've got aged urine, You got marijuana cereal. You've got high protein, high alcohol drinks. You got spicy whole pickles with various levels of heat. Slam a hot one. You got cookies that are self-warming in the package, or you got the pizza cake.
Now, we all love pizza cake, but I have going to continue the tradition of starting first and making a decision just because I'm done with it. I think I really like the protocols one. Because even if
it's a great name,
even if it's wrong, Evan just said it's a great name. It might have been him.
Imagine. What do you think of Evan? He's just going around going, "Yes, I'm good. God damn, the things I've done are fantastic."
You know, we all should do that more about ourselves.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's also funny to think that you've just locked in his answer and then he's complimenting it anonymously. There's nothing to gain for him now.
It's too late.
Well, because I've irritated myself to an incredible degree by starting to follow my macros. Oh. So, because
wait, what does that mean?
It's the sort of annoying thing that wellness and health and gym bro kind of people do.
It's like your protein, your carbs, your fat.
So yeah, not just how many calories you're getting, but where you're getting them from. Right. So you might find you're real heavy on the carbs, or you're not getting quite enough protein, for example. Mm. So you try to kind of split it so you're getting different kinds of calories from different kind of areas. So my brain's in macro territory.
And it's fairy floss cake. Like, that's all air.
That's carbs, darling. Oh. Air is carbs.
Shit.
Everything's carbs.
And there's something about the fact that it's called protocol, although that is a little bit cooker, isn't it? That's a word they really like to use.
Oh. It feels kind
it's
of military.
It's a real conspiracy theory / military.
But it's a great portmanteau.
I know, okay. But Evan, then Evan definitely wrote this one. He did. Evan's written this one.
But I think you should choose
it. So let me just
be...
backtrack.
No.
I'm just a fan.
I just think you should do it so that Evan feels like he gets a win.
Do we get any... Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, like I think Evan will
it's
feel
not his birthday. What was the chili dog one?
Red hot chili pickles, spicy old pickles with various levels of heat.
Great name.
Slam
oh,
a hot
damn,
one.
He's just, he acted okay. Like
he's
that
in
was
your head
as well.
Now. He's in your head.
God damn. Ah.
We'll come back to you, Geraldine.
Come back to me. I'm undecided.
I'm gonna lock in the cookie one because I want it to be real. That sounds great to me. I don't know how the science works, but I'm sure they've come up with a way.
Well, I mean, it's 2020, you know.
Anything's
like,
possible.
That's
COVID hasn't hit yet.
2020 is like beyond the future from Back to the Future. You know, it's 5 years advanced. And that.
Right.
And that future, there were like, you know, pizzas that would get bigger. So you can assume 5 years beyond that, cookies are warming themselves.
So do you get any extra points if you get the right one? Or is it
get a point if you get the right one. Yeah. That's you got a point for that
like,
the right one.
I felt like Matt gave that away before when he's going, I'll explain how it works at the end. Oh, if it's the real one.
But see, Geraldine, and I don't want to help Evan out, but
no,
I do.
Who does?
I do feel like the protein one is probably, that feels very
you
is it protein alcohol?
Yeah, but if you wrote that, you would say that.
It feels real, but also obviously it feels nuts to combine alcohol and gym.
Don't feel nuts without consent.
Alcohol and gym.
Like that's a.
Oh, they should have called it a gym and tonic.
Oh my god!
Oh. Matt, that's another standing. Your answer in. Put your answer back in. You fucked it.
I don't think it quite makes sense though, because the tonic is not the alcohol bit. Anyway.
A gross tonic.
Tonic with protein. Mm. So you're going to go with protocol, Beck?
No, I'm going pizza cake. Sorry.
I'll stick with protocol because sometimes you can second guess yourself.
All right. Here's who wrote the answers. Aged urine. No one touched that. That was Geraldine Quinn.
Do you know, I did have a moment where I was like, that might have some medical things. Mm. And then I went,
It really doesn't.
Yeah, we should have.
It doesn't. But don't it also, drink your weed.
It feels like the kind of thing that people could be convinced of.
Yeah.
Oh, some are.
Mm. Yeah. Why do you think I came up with
that? Wheaties. Start your day the chilled out Wheaties way. That was the house.
Ooh. Nice. That was a good slogan, that one.
Yeah, that's good.
That should exist.
Spicy whole pickles with various levels of heat. Slam a hot one, which I thought was... magnificent. That was Evan Munro Smith.
I knew it! When you, well, when you accused him of coming up with it again, I was like, Evan's face, you, it was so clear that you did come up with it. It was so funny.
You've got a real advantage here, Beth.
I know.
You can read Evan like a boom.
And really I wasn't good. Looking at him.
I know. You got to stare at him in the eyes. Did you just go... Okay, don't hiss at me like a cat.
Evan went for the Pennsylvania steamed cookie, which sounds like a euphemism. That was Beck Petraitis.
Played you like a fiddle, idiot.
Yeah, she knows what I like.
Evan likes cookies.
The pizza cake, which Beck went for, that was the house.
No!
Meaning the correct answer was protocol. High protein, high alcohol beverage.
It was just wanky enough to be real.
Damn. That's so funny.
Thank you, macros. Man. I'd like to thank my macros.
That means 1 point for Quinn, 1 point for the house, and 1 point for
Does that still
Beck.
Exist, that product?
It does, it yeah. It and,
works.
Will, who
well, I mean,
wrote,
like, it was an idea yeah. that took off, I guess.
Will, who wrote the question, has written a spiel about it, and at the end says, but... you got to know, I'm not an investor or anything. I'm just a fan of the drink.
So can you remind me what it was? What was the description of it?
It was a high protein, high alcohol drink. So it's an 8% alcoholic beverage with 11 grams of protein.
I did watch a Twitch streamer once saying that the best thing to do, and this is why I know it's not real because I watched a Twitch streamer say it. They're like, the best thing to do is you get really drunk and then you go to the gym because then your brain doesn't really catch up with what you're doing. You're like, I'm just going to lift some weights.
Yeah, that sounds unbelievably unsafe.
It's so unsafe. So I feel like don't do that. But that's what that is. High alcohol. That's so interesting.
Yeah, but I think they're saying, like, I was reading their website and it's all about, it's the first drink of the night. And it's like it tastes like a juice, I think.
Oh.
It tastes like
there's
juice.
Three flavors.
See, I thought it was for going to the gym.
No, I assumed
it was.
That's so
I think,
funny.
But they're like, I think you probably go to the gym beforehand, maybe.
Right.
Then on your night out, you haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
it can be
quite
tough to get enough protein. If you're going for like a 35-30 kind of split, you can.
Yeah.
That's always the one that's a bit lower. So that's why you're smashing all those whey protein shakes.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can do that with your first beverage as well. I can't get any
I didn't know. I didn't realize, Geraldine, that you're in this world so much. You might be able to explain to me what the part...
Not really, but... Yeah. I've got an app. You're in this world.
There's three flavors, and two of them I understand the sort of the pun or the wordplay, but the third one I don't get. So there's Swoleberry.
Yeah, Swole. Yeah.
Pineapple Pump.
Yeah.
And Orange County. What's the Orange County one?
County.
Orange County.
Orange County is an American.
Yeah, this is a place.
It's a place.
But there's no other.
I think that's like counting reps or something.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Or counting your grams of protein.
Oh, yeah.
11.
Okay. Done.
Good. Well, that was what was in the. It's 11
yeah,
grams.
11, yeah.
Yes.
All right, yeah. Count them. Yep, 11. All right, next. All right, here's question number four. This one comes from Santiago Romero from Albuquerque in New Mexico.
Wow.
And Santiago's question is, which of these is the name of a real Star Wars character?
Oh, God.
So you just got to come up with a fake Star Wars character.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to accidentally come up with a real one.
Yeah. There's so many.
Is Evan the kind of person that would accidentally come up with a real one?
Well, I don't know enough of them. I really don't know enough of them.
Okay.
I'll make something up and then realize that I've just come, like, there's one that's just in the back of my mind.
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker.
Damn it, is that, wait, hang on. That seems familiar.
It's still so funny that it's like Star Wars and like there's so many like cool names. Like and interesting weird names, and then it's just Luke.
Yeah, Luke.
Luke.
What about Garth Vader?
Oh,
don't burn him, Geraldine.
I'll never guess that one. Can I just tell you? I think I've told this on a podcast before, but when I used to work in news, someone got very annoyed once because there was a news story about like a comic book convention, and they were someone was interviewing someone who was in a Chewbacca costume, but they'd taken the head off. And we got a really angry message saying, I hadn't told my son that Chewbacca wasn't real yet.
Oh my
God. And I was obsessed with it.
That's great.
I was so obsessed with that
message. Funny.
I was like, what?
What?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What do you mean by this?
And like, this girl was dressed up as him anyway.
Yeah,
like,
it was just a Chewbacca. So funny.
Have you explained to him that costumes are real?
Yeah. But also just the idea that, I mean, there are certain things that you weave things for kids to up the magic of the world.
Yes.
But Star Wars.
Democracy works.
Democracy. Capitalism's great. Get in. Get involved. But yeah, the whole, making Star Wars, pretending Star Wars is completely real is such an interesting move to do on a child. And I feel like would really
We're watching another documentary now, Stephen. Come now, Stephen.
Come now.
But also, like,
time to learn of a galaxy far, far away.
And it was far, far away, and it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
like,
how
someone's,
did we get the footage?
Someone's a fan of the real Chewbacca, you know?
Yeah.
The real Chewbacca.
Right?
Yeah.
They're like, okay. That's very easy to explain away to a child. They're wearing a Chewbacca costume.
Mm.
A costume of the real
Evan,
creature.
Was this you? Did you message me?
Real. Wookiees are real kids, so Santa.
Wookiees. That's something that from Star Wars.
That's something from Star Wars. Yes.
Yeah,
I think
Chewbacca's
I'm
a weird.
I'm struggling to think of things from Star Wars.
Hey, before we get to question four, I should tell you a little bit about this fantastic drink.
Protocol.
Protocol.
Oh, yes.
According to Will, in the early days of COVID lockdowns, the founding fathers of spiked protein had an epiphany and found an untapped area of both the protein drink and alcohol markets. From those dark days of COVID came the most high-octane beverage to ever hit the shelves. Protocol, protein plus alcohol. At 8% ABV and 11 grams of protein per serving, Protocol is perfect for those who like to hit the gym and hit the town.
That's phenomenal.
Will says, after writing all that, he says, I'm not a founding father or an investor, just a fan of the drink and the show. Thanks so much, Will.
Oh, thanks, Will.
I got to say also, like, I also invented a drink during lockdowns and that I think was very innovative.
Is it aged wee?
No. No, and stop.
That's good because I had bad news for you.
No, I invented spiked Barocca.
Oh, gosh.
So that's when you wake up and you're like, I have a Barocca, and then just fill it with alcohol. And that's good.
Vodka.
Hair of the Barocca.
Hair of the Barocca. I feel like I read a thing that was like, I looked up, I don't know why I looked up, can you mix Barocca and alcohol? And the internet was like, no, don't do that.
Barocca.
Wait, why not?
I think they're just frowned upon.
Barocca.
it's not unhealthy or anything. No. Ooh, it's just like, bad etiquette.
Yeah.
Barocca hole.
A Barocca hole.
Wasn't worth me. Really wasn't.
That's good. I thought you were just insulting me specifically.
No.
You Beck Rocker hole.
No one. I was not on.
What about hydrolyte and alcohol? Alkalite. Alkalite.
Alkalite.
No.
Hydrolager.
Hydrolager. All right, now we're talking.
Oh,
we're brewing beer with it. That sounds no good. Hey, while you're still writing your answer, let's go for a quick break.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
All right, your answers are in. Question number four. Which of these is the name of a real Star Wars character? I should quickly check how much. So Evan doesn't really know much about Star Wars.
I've seen them all, but it's like, okay.
I think I'm similar to you.
Yeah. It's like a sieve.
I think I now like Star Wars more than Star Wars fans, though. Because I've watched a lot of the TV shows and I thought they were all fine.
Yeah. I enjoy them, but they sort of wash over me.
I feel like they wash over me too. I just like hanging out in that world.
Yeah.
It's relaxing. I find it's just quite sparse and
yeah
I'll just like watching those things.
Oh, I've never I'm older than you lot, so the prequels. Is that what they are? The original films?
Yeah.
That they made sense to me, but I got a bit lost after that. And I've never really got into a television series.
The prequel, just because there will be someone going there. The prequels are the ones, they came out after, in the 90s they came out, or the noughties maybe?
No, but...
The original ones came out in like the 70s or the 80s?
That's what I grew up with.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought they were...
I think they just called them the original trilogy.
Oh, no, they were the original and the prequels were the ones in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how much I know about Star Wars.
Whereas I used to know quite a lot and it's all gone now. Like, I had a Star Wars phase. You have to. If you're any sort of nerd, you have to have a Star Wars phase. But a lot of it's flowed out. And also, I had a friend who was really into the Star Wars novels. Because there were a lot of novels when I was growing up.
Broken their hearts.
Well, no, it's just that they knew so much that I felt like I could never live up to it. And they were always like, oh, you know, Squingo of the Gromar region.
Don't give it away.
I'm sorry.
You're tipping your hand.
Anyway, I just felt I could never consume enough to understand it, which is so silly. I gatekeeped myself out of Star Wars.
That's funny. But didn't they at some point they said all those books didn't happen.
Yeah,
which like spending all your time learning about the whole world and then someone comes like, oh, by the way, that's not real.
I mean, personally, I feel pretty good as someone who didn't read them.
To be fair though, Matt, none of it is real.
What? Hang on. Hang on. I'm just, sorry, Beck, I was that child.
I knew it.
All right, which of these is the real name of a Star Wars character? Jib Dodger. Sycorax. Skis Bunko. Don Molo. Squingor Kentar. Or Laser Vidovic.
Jesus,
what? One of those was very similar to what I said.
Yeah, that's right.
How are we...
Squingo Bongo.
How are we supposed to... What? How do we remember these?
Can we hear them again?
I need to write them down.
Yeah.
Jib Dodger.
Jib Dodger.
Sycorax.
Sycorax.
Skis Bunko.
What?
Don Molo.
Squingor
Kentar. Or Laser Vidovic.
Can I make an accusation at Geraldine Quinn that she came up with Sycorax?
You can. You can make any sort of...
Hang on, one more time. Don Molo.
Because Sycorax is a Doctor Who villain.
Ooh.
If it's also from Star Wars, fuck you, universe. You can't have two sci-fi things and then have the same name.
I think that'd be fantastic. Shit,
unless Sycorax means something else.
Don Molo.
Squingor Kentar. Laser Vidovic.
Why did I laugh at that?
So
laser is just laser, but you've said it weird.
Do you want to? I mean, we sometimes we'll do a round where you can get a bonus point for guessing what the others wrote.
Okay,
do you
want to
do that? This
should we guessing what the others wrote.
So Beck's suggesting Geraldine wrote.
Jacques. Because Sycorax, they're from, I believe, the Christmas Invasion. Doctor Who.
Do you want to? You want to guess who someone?
I'll guess what Beck. I'm going to guess that Beck did Jib Dodger. Because that's what happens if you're in the studio and I'm swinging the jib around.
You did almost hit me with it yesterday.
There you go. Yeah, I think that's the inspiration.
I would have said Beck was Squingy and Kenta. Whatever that one was.
Squingo.
Squingo. Like Oingo Boingo.
Yeah, that sounds like a Beck one too, actually.
All right.
I'm going to pick, what was it? Skis? Something.
Skis Bunko.
Skis Bunko.
Skis Bunko.
I'm going to guess Skis Bunko. Why not? It's a. I mean, they all sound pretty silly.
Wait, hang on. One of these is a real Star Wars character. Not silly at all. Sure, five of them might sound silly, but that sixth one. What do you think, Beck?
Well, I didn't accuse Evan of one, but I forgot what all of them were. I'm so sorry.
I think you've each accused one of the others.
Oh, you accused Geraldine. True. But has Geraldine accused. Oh.
I've been accused.
It's the accusation round.
Yeah.
I could say, I'm happy to accuse Evan of something.
Oh, yeah. You can accuse each other if you want.
Don Molo?
Don Molo's
Evan. Because I don't think that there would be a Star Wars character called Don, because Don actually means something.
It's like,
Don means.
Yeah, like, not meat. Same as Luke. Don, you know, there wouldn't be a character called Luke because that's a real thing.
It's a title, though, in another language. So why would
George... Don is good.
Is Don is good.
Yeah. I was thinking more Don Juan, though, but you went straight to small goods.
I love salami.
Don.
Salami's a great name for
Don Giovanni, Don Juan. You've never heard the character of Don Juan?
Yeah.
Don, it's like the mafia boss is the Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a title. It's like calling someone a Duke or a Don.
Evan
or,
just knows ham.
And which one do you think is real, Geraldine?
Oh, well, the thing is, George Lucas is a weird guy.
Yes.
I mean, he could come up with any of these as well.
He's got a beautiful mind.
It's a beautiful.
How about you, Beck? Do you have any thoughts here?
Wanted to also accuse Evan. Can you just read out all of them again? And I'm just going to look at Evan's face.
Jib Dodger, Sycorax, Skis Bunko, Don Molo, Squingo Kenta, Laser Vidovic.
He blinked on Squingo.
He did blink on Squingo.
But he might just have really dry eyes.
Yeah. I think he came up
Sometimes
with
I just got to blink.
I think Evan came
Get
up with.
Get the t-shirts ready right now. Sometimes you just got to blink.
Evan came up with Laser.
All right.
And I am going with Don because it is good.
You think Don's the real answer?
Yes, because...
You're just hungry.
I do want some Twiggy Sticks. Actually, Don doesn't sell Twiggy Sticks.
I'm going to go Laser as my answer.
Okay. Oh.
Although it does remind me of Rem Lazar, like the bee. Don't worry. If you watch Red Letter Media, you know what I'm talking about.
So that just means, Evan, we need you... To accuse.
No, I did. I accused Beck of Jib Dodger.
But you haven't accused Geraldine.
Oh, I have to accuse Geraldine of something. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Okay.
I think now everyone else has accused everyone else apart from you and Geraldine.
You don't have to accuse me. I've been through a lot. You don't have to accuse me of anything.
Nah, get her.
It won't be the one that she guessed.
No.
Good. That is good
that's
logic.
He's done it.
Unless it's a double bluff.
It could be. And it won't be the one that I guessed because I think that's real. It won't be the one that I wrote.
That would be
that only leaves two.
I don't think so.
Hang on, maybe there's more than that.
But anyway, just
how many are there in total? It doesn't matter.
It's not the one. So you said Beck did Jib Dodger.
Yeah, so it's not that one.
You guess Skis Bunko.
I think there's three. Yep.
So that leaves Sycorax, Don Molo, Squingor Kentor, or Laser Vidovic.
I'll go Squingor. See, she likes it.
Squingor Kentor, you think?
I'm going to pin that on Geraldine. I don't know.
Actually, but Geraldine said Beck would have done that, so I don't.
Yeah, but I would say that.
Oh, you can be double what?
No.
All right,
this round got really complicated.
This must be brutal to listen to. Anyway, we'll try and make it simple as possible. Here's who wrote the answers. So Geraldine went for a Laser Vidovic. And Beck thought Evan did that one, but that was actually The House. It was a St. Kilda Ruckman in the 90s.
I was about to say it's a sportsman.
Laser?
I was going to guess tennis.
Is his name spelled like Laser?
L-A-Z-A-R.
Yeah. All right.
Wow. I knew how it was spelled.
I wanted it to be L-A-S-E-R.
That's why I shouldn't have done it, because I knew it was a name. I'm like, no, I'm an idiot.
Squingor Kentor. Quinn thought it was Beck. Evan thought it was Quinn. It was Beck.
Yeah, no, that was me. And I was like, why did I accidentally improv a very similar name before it?
Then we had Don Molo, which Beck thought was real, Quinn thought was Evan, and it was Evan. So you went 2 for 2 on your guesses there, Geraldine.
Wow.
I just couldn't get the actual answer. Wow.
You do know ham.
Evan thought it was Skis Bunko, but that was actually written by Santiago, aka The House.
Santiago.
Sycorax, Beck thought was Quinn, and it was.
But in my defense, it's a Shakespearean character.
Really?
Is it's that where Caliban's. They got it from? It's Caliban's mother. She's not seen in the
Tempest. So did you not pick it because of Doctor Who?
No, I picked it because of Shakespeare. So.
And those are the two reference points we have.
And I actually went, God damn it. I bet some other literature wanker on the writing team of Doctor Who. Because Caliban's been a Marvel character now. And it's like, well, that's a character from The Tempest.
Oh.
So I was trying to think of a Shakespearean character you wouldn't get. I should have just said Juliet and be done with it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Macbeth.
Juliet Macbeth.
That's a beautiful name.
And that means, Evan thought Beck wrote it, but it's the real answer, Jib Dodger.
Damn you, George Lucas!
That's great. What does Jib Dodger look like? What's Jib Dodger?
Jib Dodger's a human.
Okay.
What the shit?
That's disappointing.
But the your logic was pretty close. So the guy the guy who played him. It was a small part. He was portrayed by the director of the episode of The Mandalorian, Rick Famuyiwa, and he chose the name himself based on the filming equipment, the jib, and Famuyiwa's love for baseball and the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Wow.
He's baseball just a, team. He's a guy.
He's just a guy, Jib Dodger.
Just looking at him. He's just a pilot. Oh,
it's such a great name, though, and it's so funny that... like, Evan and the jib, that would be, like, if you were making, like, a little figurine of Evan, I think it would have a jib.
Yeah, it'd have to have a jib.
I love
the
jib.
It's a jib. So good. Or that rig that you wear
sometimes. Yeah, the easy rig.
The jib or the rig.
I'm not going to lie, I love it when Evan busts the jib out. Yeah. It just makes everything look expensive.
Yeah, instant production base. So good.
So that round, Geraldine gets 2 points. The house gets 2 points and Beck gets 1 point.
Do I get no point? I don't get any points.
Evan still...
We're still on nothing. Oh, my God.
But not...
Yes.
Yeah, no, didn't Geraldine guess mine? Don?
Oh.
No.
I guess Beck did guess yours.
Yeah, no, yes, guess that yours. Is a point for Evan.
Oh, Beck guessed mine.
Apologies there.
And that's on me laughing really loud, isn't it?
Sorry about that. That is... Evan is on the board.
I got one.
So the scores are now Evan on 1 point, Beck on 4 points, but out in front, it's Geraldine and the house on 5 points apiece.
Whoa! Me in the house.
You in the house.
Yeah, is there a sudden death if the house and then Geraldine
are... No, we just share the
okay.
Share the win. Yeah. Question five, three rounds to go. Question five, the question comes from Aza Ed from Indianapolis in Indiana. And the question is, what is the name of Paquita La Del Barrio's hit song that was inspired by her ex-husband? So
this in Spanish?
It is, but we want the English translation.
Oh, okay. Thank Christ.
Inspired by her husband.
El Cristo. grazie El Cristo.
Mi dispiace, ma non parlo Espanol. That was half Italian. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Ignacio, was it?
I think what we said was thank you, the Christ.
So what was the name of our artist again?
Paquita La Del Barrio.
Inspired by her husband.
Yeah, so it's like a... It's not... She's... It's like a... What do you call it? Like a breakup song, you know?
A song title.
Yeah, song title.
Is it a breakup song?
She broke up with her husband?
Or
is it a love song?
It's not a love song.
Okay.
Oh, I've given that away, so I may as well stick with that. It's a bitter song.
It's a bitter song.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
While you're writing your answers, here's some more info about Jib Dodger via the Star Wars fandom page. Jib Dodger was a pilot in the New Republic Starfighter Corps after the Battle of Endor. In 9ABY, which I guess is a year, Dodger was assigned to the flight squadron alongside fellow Starfighter pilots Sash Ketter and Trapper Wolf, whose duties to the New Republic included responding to active Republic tracking beacons and tracking them down. Jib Dodger was a human male with black hair, brown eyes, and dark skin. Jib Dodger's first appearance was in Chapter 6 of the 2019 television series The Mandalorian, which aired December 13th, 2019. And the name came from Rick Fumiyawa's love of jibs and baseball. The answers are in for question number five. What is the name of Paquita La Del Barrio's hit song? Said her name differently every time. Paquita La Del Barrio. And what was the name of her hit song that was inspired by her ex-husband? Alone for Christmas Night.
Oh, fuck.
Rat with Two Legs.
Oh, that's really good.
Shove your wandering eye where the sun don't shine.
Oh, my gosh.
Grab my shotgun. I'm putting your high horse down.
Wow.
Your sausage never hit the spot. Or adios, bastardos.
I think these are all great lyrics.
They're all good.
You put this all together, you got yourself a song.
You get
that's an album. That's an EP, right there.
Can you record it, Geraldine? We'll put it out. We'll start a new label here today. Stupid old records.
I just want to put my hand up right now because it struck me and I felt it. And the rat one.
Okay.
It's very good.
I'll tell you why. Because it feels like the kind of thing that would be a phrase in like Spanish.
Yeah.
I'm presuming Spanish, by the way. I don't know whether they're Portuguese or Spanish.
Mexican, I think.
It's Spanish, yeah. So, it feels like that might be a common phrase somewhere else in the world that is being translated to English.
Okay.
I just a rat with two legs.
Yes.
Mm. That's so good. Evocative.
In saying that, I don't want to like sway you away from
No, I love it. I'm happy to stick with it. I'm winning.
But rats generally do wander around on two legs a bunch.
Yeah, how many legs do rats have arms or do they have four legs?
They have four legs.
Good point. They've got four legs. You're right. I prefer to think of them as like gesticulating.
Ratatouille. I think I'm also thinking of ratatouille. Not real.
Oh fuck!
Sorry,
but why did I go to that restaurant?
Their rib cage is all squished and they can get into tiny little spaces. Rats are amazing.
I've opened up Google Translate. Rat with two legs translates to rata con two patas. Oh, hang on, the two just translates to two, but. Rata con dos patas.
Did you just look up two in Spanish?
I'd written it down. Do you want to hear what the other ones translate to?
Yeah, I think this will help.
Oh, yeah.
Alone for Christmas night is solo para la noche de Navidad.
Oh, that's so sad sounding.
Feliz Navidad.
Oh, a couple of these are quite long.
Feliz Navidad, you bastard.
Shove your wandering eye where the sun don't shine is mete tu ojo o oyo errante donde el sol no brilla.
That sounds hard to sing.
That would be hard to do. That's the whole chorus.
But it might just be you, Matt.
I feel like, yeah, that might be me. Grab my shotgun. I'm putting down your high horses.
Fuck.
Agarra mi escopeta. Estoy bailando tu caballo alto.
Yeah, catchy.
And then your sausage never hit the spot. Is tu salchicha nuncha de en el clavo. Apologies for Spanish speaking listeners.
See, as a songwriter, I think about the rhyme as well.
Mm.
So like the clavo, I could hear a lot of different rhyme words that would end in that. Whereas Navidad, I mean, even Jose didn't. Yeah, I'm thinking Spanish words.
Oh, okay.
Even like Feliz Navidad doesn't rhyme with much apart from Feliz Navidad. But why do you think he sang it like four times in the chorus?
But what if it doesn't rhyme?
Felicidad. It will.
Oh, the music. Oh,
finally, adios bastardos translates to adios bastardos.
I don't know. That sounds real
that
to me.
That works in every language.
It's succinct, but I think it's a red herring.
Adios bastardos. Adios bastardos. Espero año y felicidos.
So, all right, one more time, quickly through. Alone for Christmas night, rat with two legs, shove your wandering eye where the sun don't shine, grab my shotgun, I'm putting your high horse down, your sausage never hit the spot, or adios bastardos.
Well, I'm sticking with rats. I love the rat.
I'm going with wandering eye.
Wandering eye forever.
I'm going alone on Christmas night, even though the rhyming doesn't work. This is either... I think I just like Christmas. Evan, if you've written
this... You do like Christmas. You wrote a wonderful show about how much you like Christmas.
Oh, no, maybe this might be a trap. I'm falling in.
I love I love
the back trap.
I'm in.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. Adios bastardos. That was Geraldine Quinn.
Oh, it's so good.
Your sausage never hit the spot. That was Beck Petratus. Grab my shotgun. I'm putting your high horse down. That was The House.
That's a good one.
It's a bit country and western. That's why I didn't go for it.
Evan went for Shove Your Wandering Eye Where the Sun Don't Shine. That was Aziad, a.k.a. The House. It was a little combo between me and Aziad there. He had something probably more believable than I. Made it real long. Alone for Christmas Night. Beck went for that was Evan.
Fuck.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah. No, not for Beck. I didn't. Like, I didn't specifically, but...
That wasn't a birthday present.
Is it? Yeah, it isn't because I already have bought Christmas stuff yesterday.
Oh, no.
And that means Geraldine was correct. Rat with two legs.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
It is. I think it's a good one.
Rata de dos patas.
Nice.
So great. Phenomenal.
Great title.
So good. And I'll tell the listeners a bit more about that song shortly. Apparently it was, I think maybe even her ex helped write it, and he, because he didn't feel the same as she did, obviously, about himself, he used the ex-Mexican president as his inspiration. So he was all.
So he was aware what it was going to be, but he just removed himself in the creative process so that he could better serve his ex.
I believe so.
That's
that's
very professional.
Yeah.
It's a good and it became a massive hit over there. Apparently,
It's like our dog Gonzo. For me, is named after Chili Gonzalez. He's a musician, but Beck doesn't like him, and so for Beck, he's named after the Muppet. Dog.
No, it's named after Gonzo Journalism.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought it'd be named after your dog. Hmm? Isn't your dog called Gonzo?
Yeah, no, I'm saying, our dog is named Gonzo.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
He's named after himself, everybody.
Guys, I'm really tired.
Gonzo's Gonzo.
Imagine how much I'd win if I wasn't so tired.
Only two questions to go. This is question
number six. That's right.
I don't think I can come back from two points.
You've got to remember the final round is worth...
Oh,
points!
All right, come on, crack on, guys. I've got to get home.
I still don't know if I can.
So, question six comes from Tom Henry from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Scranton!
Mm.
Oh, there's a lot of really good musicians around there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
is it a music question?
It is. So, don't give it away if you know the answer. The question is, what event that inspired a popular Harry Chapin song?
Uh-huh.
Happened in Scranton, Pennsylvania on March the 18th, 1965.
I think I know the song.
Oh, shit.
You guess last then, but still make up an answer.
I'm thinking.
Obviously. An event.
Something happened.
Right, okay.
Like a historical event.
I see, right.
Just a thing. So in that last round, Evan got another point. Geraldine got another point, and the house got another point. So the scores are now Evan on 2 points, Beck on 4 points, and Geraldine and the house on 6 points. But while they're writing their answers, here's a bit more info about that famous song, A Rat with Two Legs. According to Azaed, even though the song was written for Paquita La Del Barrio's ex-husband, it was inspired by the Mexican president Carlos Salinas de Gortari, who many believe that he was giving away the wealth of the nation to foreign ownership. The United States backed him on his bid for Director General of the newly created World Trade Organization, which later was one of the many reasons the Mexican population believed he was cheating the Mexican people, since it devalued the peso and led to the worst economic crisis in history. The song has insult after insult that can be taken towards either her ex-husband or the ex-president of Mexico.
When was it written? Like, when did it get released?
Ooh.
Like, what kind of era are we talking about? I don't know Mexican politics very well, so...
Let me have...
I'm just curious when... What era birthed this song?
I went to Google my answer as if that was there. Sausage hits the spot. That song. What the fuck? What a rat.
Oh, it looks like...
Recent?
According to Google, 2004.
Okay. Well, not that reason, 20 years ago.
Here's some of the lyrics from it, though, if you're interested.
Yeah.
And it's just all insults, basically. Filthy rat, creeping animal, scum of life, shoddy monstrosity. I mean, these are the English translations.
Yeah.
Subhuman, specter of hell, damn vermin.
Wonderful.
How much damage you've done to me. Vermin, poisonous serpent, waste of life. I hate and despise you. Two-legged rat. I'm talking to you because a creeping creature, even being the most cursed compared to you, is very small. Damn leech, damn cockroach. You who infects with bites, who hurts and who kills. Your listening to me is useless. Hyena of hell. How much I hate you and despise you.
Did they get back together?
Yeah, Mexico voted him back in that election.
Yeah, cool.
And she got back with her husband.
Oh, lovely. That's good to know.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's just like, non-stop.
But in saying that, I feel like everyone knows someone who, like, they broke up with someone and they were like, yeah, this guy's...
It's a coping mechanism.
But then they get back together and you're like, uh-oh. But what about all that stuff we said together?
It reminds me of the lyrics to the unfairly robbed Croatian Eurovision entry, the Let Three song, which was really about Putin. And the chorus is all just insults. It's just you crocodile like psychopath.
That's nice.
I love it. I love the idea of a song that's just insults, and then go, yeah, it's about you.
I'm just going to check I messaged Matt and not someone saying happy birthday. I did message Matt. Great. Yeah, because just a weird message back.
Especially for the last round.
Yeah. That would have been. I'm sorry, Dad.
Oh, fuck.
All right, the answers are in for question number 6. What happened in Scranton, Pennsylvania on March the 18th, 1965, inspired a song? Joe Biden celebrated his 21st birthday in his family home, which his dad built with his bare hands, and Biden still resides in to this day. We're not staying in the White House.
Evan? Evan,
you're a big Biden man?
Evan watches too.
I do follow American politics.
Evan loves Rachel Maddow. Have you discussed this?
I've walked in on him watching it.
Embarrassing. Pants up or no? Sorry, Rachel. That was uncalled for.
If
Rachel's listening.
Evan just went red. Evan loves Rachel Maddow's, like, loves listening to Rachel. And I feel like Rachel Maddow mostly just good. She goes, well, that means something, and it never does.
That was a right. pretty good
is she, Rachel Maddow. And she's, like, pretty partisan in favour of Democrats.
Yeah, but I don't know. No, she's
a lefty. She's on MSNBC. But
she's not.
But she's fairly level-headed.
MSNBC is lefty. Microsoft NBC. That's what the M is?
Yeah, I think it is.
Microsoft NBC, is that right?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I've never thought, I always forget that MSN is Microsoft. I just think of MSN.
Hey, Matt, lefty doesn't mean full-blown communist. You can still kind of be in a...
Did I say I'm not? I don't know what...
You're going to start...
Mate,
you're
gonna I'm Swiss-Italian, okay? I'm Switzerland. I'm neutral.
Are you going to start talking to us about the UN next?
I think Biden and Trump both have good points.
Oh, God.
Like, they're the two options.
Yeah.
So that was your first option, Joe Biden's birthday. Remember that famous song everyone sings?
Yeah.
Joe Biden turned 21 in that house that his dad built with his bare hands. I don't know the melody, but it's something like that.
That's good.
Option two, the Great Scranton Train Heist, where a single man stole a whole train full of gold. A gazelle escaped the local zoo, causing havoc in the town center. The city commemorates the event annually with the Scranton Scramble, a charity race where locals dress as animals and run blindfolded down the main street.
The Scranton Scramble. That's good.
That is good.
The Scranton coal mine disaster, when 67 people died in a mining collapse.
Wow.
And why not make a jam about that?
Well, it doesn't have to be a jam.
Do you want a mournful?
He's the ballad? His big song is Cats in the Cradle. Yeah. This guy.
Cats in the Cradle.
Okay, right.
So it would be a bit
be melancholy.
You can think there's like a whole kind of history of folky sort of guitar.
I also just remember the blues exist.
Yeah.
Gordon Lightfoot wasn't blues. Canadian
no, but it, sad songs can exist.
Yeah. Joni Mitchell. Did she write jams? Yeah. Anyway.
A truck hauling bananas crashed, killing 30,000... spilling, not killing.
I was going to say.
They were all allergic to potassium.
Killing 30,000 pounds of bananas.
Okay.
Oh, no. Spilling 30,000 pounds of bananas all over the road.
R.I.P. bananas.
Or... A local labourer was convicted of a murder they didn't commit but were executed before they were proven innocent.
Oh, man. Oh. See, that feels real.
Do they have capital punishment in Pennsylvania? I don't know enough about the US states.
Scranton, where?
Since when?
So Scranton.
It was 1965, so probably. Australia had capital punishment in 65, I think.
It's where the office is made.
I think the last, maybe the last man was... killed in capital punished in Australia in 66. Am I right in saying that?
I want to look it up now.
So you got Joe Biden's birthday, Scranton train heist, the Scranton scramble, Scranton coal mine disaster, the banana crash, or the man executed, the innocent man being executed.
67 was when Ryan was hanged in Australia.
Right, 67. So, yeah. for listeners, Geraldine isn't on first name basis with him. That's his surname. what was his name?
Ronald Ryan, isn't it? Yeah, that's the last. Oh, you seem to have a lot of American listeners. Yeah, so the last man hanged in Australia for capital punishment was in Victoria in 1967.
And what did he do to deserve that?
I think it was murder, but I have a vague idea. Feels like it should have been murder if it was him. That maybe he might not have actually done it. And that's just kind of the sticking point with the death penalty.
That can happen.
And I think Bolte, the bridge man, was the premier at the time. Am I right in saying that?
Look, I'm going to have to click through a few more Wikipedia pages for that one.
Well, so...
Bolte, the bridge man, is a great name.
There's a lot of great options here.
There are a lot of great options, Evan. Thank you so much for being the only one, including me, who's still concentrating on the game.
Scranton Scramble sounds great. Oh,
that
that's
was
because...
a big snort there, Ben.
The Scranton snort.
It sounds like eggs. I can't remember what it actually is, but it sounds like scrambled eggs, which I like.
So you're going to lock in the Scranton Scramble?
Well, no, I don't know if I'm locking it in. I'm just pointing out.
The Scramble, that's the charity race.
But Evan, did you write a song? I know you love scrambled eggs.
Do you write
eggs?
A song about a charity race? What do you write a song about?
No, it's not. It could be about, like, it could be gazelle. That's the setting of the song.
Oh, okay. Right, right. Yep.
Like, at that,
maybe
that's
he
where
met his lover there. He met his sweetheart better than lover. Yep. He met his sweetheart at the Scranton Scramble.
I met my sweetheart at the Scranton Scramble. I met her when her eyes looked so blue.
Maybe it's not a love song. Maybe.
Cornflower blue?
Maybe he lost his sweetheart at the Scranton Scramble.
I lost my sweetheart at the Scranton Scramble.
It's a musical episode. Thanks, yeah. Guys.
She was dressed as an elephant.
Or she
ran into a bunch of other elephants. Now she's gone. I can't rhyme.
Ironically, I think that's got potential.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
That's got potential. The bananas, I'm not sure if I see that being a song or
30,000 pounds of
bananas. It's a lot of bananas.
I see that being a movie.
I think you could do a feature, but I don't know about that. Is that what the song
Have a Banana is about? Because there were so many bananas on the ground.
If they're on the floor, they're out the door.
3 second rule. Go, go, go.
Eat a banana off the ground. Oh, this is unpeeled. Okay, don't worry.
To me, the most.
Yes, they were transporting them unpeeled. I mean, peeled. Unless they're unpeeled.
No, I said unpeeled. I don't know why I said.
We're losing it.
I think the one that sounds most real to me is maybe the coal mine. As much as it's a sadder one.
Not that, the execution one.
I mean, that's also good.
Those two are the sort of...
Stop trying to sway. Stop trying to sway things, mister.
Who?
You, Matt.
No, I'm just... Hey.
I want to pick that.
He wants me to win.
I want the execution one.
I think you could write a ballad about either of those things and that could be a... Is it a hit? Did you say it was a hit song? Maybe it was a flop.
What did I call it?
I don't know.
I called it a popular Harry Chapman
popular.
Song.
Popular. I don't know if it's... I think I'm going to go coal. I think maybe there's... I don't know.
The coal mining disaster.
Yeah.
All right. And you... What did you want to...
I think of the era in American songwriting, there were a tremendous... Well, North American is in the continent. There were a lot of, like, Jim Croces and Chapins and, like, right. Lightfoots. So I think that kind of balladia tragic tale makes sense to me for that 60-ish era.
Like The Hurricane by Bob Dylan, that's, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I reckon there would 100% be some kind of wrongful execution kind of a ballad.
And I'm
that leaves you, Beck.
Yeah, I'm looking in the saddest one, the bananas.
Thank you so much.
I'm looking in the saddest one, the gazelle escaped the zoo.
All that wasted potassium.
I'm looking in the saddest one, Joe Biden turned 21. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. Joe Biden celebrated his 21st birthday in his family home. That was Tom, aka the house.
Really? That's so funny.
He actually wrote it as it was his... He was born in that house. But I'm like, they'll figure out that he's younger than that. He's older than that, sorry.
Oh, right.
But, yeah. You laughed at the idea of him. I mean, still, I think I made it more ridiculous somehow that a song would be written about his 21st birthday party.
I mean, it might have gone off.
Mm. Yeah. the great Scranton train heist that was Beck Petratus, where a single man stole a whole train full of gold.
I feel like the 60s is actually the wrong time for that to happen. No, as well.
The great train robbery was in the 60s.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. Oh, fucking no.
The gazelle escaping the local zoo, that was the house.
Oh, I would have picked Beck.
That's good.
Scranton Scramble. So then we had Geraldine went for the local labourer convicted of murder. That was Evan Munro Smith.
Wow. Well, revenge. Whoa. Let me just say, revenge is going to be sweet.
Evan went for the Scranton coal mine disaster, which was Geraldine Quinn.
Which means Beck
was correct. It's a truck hauling bananas crashing.
Is it really?
Bananas. That is so sad.
Well done.
Is the song like da 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 da? Oh, bananas!
What's it called?
What is it?
What's it called? What's it called?
It is called 30,000 pounds of bananas.
Is it really? Really?
Yeah.
And this is a popular song.
Yeah, it was an album track, but apparently played it live, and the crowd sang along and stuff.
Nice.
But it's a pretty grim story in some ways because the truck driver died in the crash.
Oh.
Anyway,
I mean, that is sad, okay. But oh my god,
it is a song.
But
wow.
But it is just, I mean,
it's actually from 1974 album, so I feel like you might have steered us a bit wrong there.
How were they carrying 30,000 bananas?
The incident happened in 65.
30,000 pounds of bananas. So
the incident was 65, the song was 74.
What happened? Okay, let me ask the question again, Geraldine. I mean, it's already, what event happened in Scranton, Pennsylvania on March 18, 1965.
No, don't come at me with your facts. That's not the point of the game.
That's incredible, though. He wrote the song, 9 years after the event?
Well,
so
he was
probably
writing it for 9 years.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
That's an opus.
Yeah.
So up to the final question. It's going to be the one that takes you the longest, right? Because it's a mini film synopsis. It'll probably be three or four odd sentences.
Okay, okay.
And it comes from Peter Atkin from York. And Peter's question is, what is the synopsis of the 2011 film Blubberella?
Blubberella?
Blubberella.
What is the synopsis of the 2011 film Blubberella?
So that's a real film?
A real film, yeah.
Oh.
Well, I can see where they've got their inspo from.
And while you're writing your answers, here's some more info about the banana disaster.
I feel like, sorry, I just want to say, I feel like these synopses are going to be skirting quite a few tense PC moments.
Well, that sounds like yours is gonna.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I'm not the one making the film, but I can imagine the kind of people that
mine is a beautiful story about a whale.
Oh man, don't burn it, Ben.
Sorry, what were you gonna tell us about the bananas?
So this is according to Wiki. On March the 18th, 1965, a 33-year-old truck driver named Eugene P. Seske was on his way to deliver a load of bananas to Scranton, Pennsylvania. Seske was driving a 1950s Brockway diesel truck tractor with a 35-foot semi-trailer and was headed down Route 307 when he lost control. That section of Route 307 contains a 2-mile descent extending from Lake Scranton to the bottom of Moosic Street that includes a drop in elevation of more than 500 feet in less than a mile and a half. Seske was unable to control the truck's speed down the hill due to a mechanical failure, variously attributed to the truck's brake system or its clutch. As a result, the truck cruised into Scranton at approximately 90 miles per hour or 140 k's, sideswiping a number of cars before it crashed into a house close to the bottom of the hill. Witnesses reported that Seske did everything possible to avoid pedestrians and other motorists, including climbing out onto the truck's running board to try and warn people, and some have suggested that he may have deliberately flipped the truck over to avoid striking either bystanders or an automotive service station that could have exploded in flames. So he kind of died a hero.
Oh, wow.
He was thrown from the truck and killed, and bananas were spilled and strewn when the rig came to rest. 15 others were injured, but only Seske died. So
when
he
I said
probably
it was a sad story
a
as a
lives.
Joke, it was a sad story.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was really sad, but it was like if he, you know, tried to do self-preservation and just kept the truck upright, probably a lot of people would have died. So folk singer Harry Chapin wrote a song about the incident, which was called 30,000 Pounds of Bananas. And it was an album track on the same album as Cats in the Cradle.
Wow.
And according to Tom, Chapman promised to donate the song's royalties to the family of the truck driver.
And did he?
Well, he actually, I assume so. But he actually died in a car accident himself.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, when he was still in his 30s. Here is the final question. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just a reminder, this is worth triple points. So it is truly still anyone's game. Maybe.
I'm just admiring the Evan's phone design's different to mine. Mm. That's really,
it's quite sharp.
Really interesting.
Before you were saying you were in a hurry for us to go.
I am. But
and now you're stopping to talk about a phone design?
I'm not in a hurry to go. I love this. I just have to travel a long way. So.
All right, here's the final question. What is the synopsis of the 2011 film Blubberella? A space comedy romp based on Barbarella about an intrepid porpoise on a journey of sexual awakening throughout the galaxy. Because as we all know, dolphins be randy.
Ah.
Did I say porpoise, right? Poipus.
You okay?
Poipus.
You're okay. Yeah, you are. You got it.
Okay. Option two, in the year 2084, 8-year-old Francis's parents take him to a hospital when they are unable to make him stop crying. At first, the hospital staff are dismissive, but soon are convinced there is something abnormal going on, and scientists and religious leaders travel from around the world to see him. A debate breaks out between them. Is Francis a sign of the impending rapture, or could his tears be a way to save a world with fast depleting resources?
Wow.
Okay.
Wait, you drink? Oh, I see.
I guess you need a desal plant.
Yeah, you would.
Option three. A classic sci-fi sexploitation adventure where Delilah Conteco, a renowned scientist, is involved in a workplace accident which causes her body to be genetically mutated with fish DNA, granting her giant blubbery breasts.
Thank you, Geraldine.
A heroic vampire-human hybrid takes on an army of Nazis in this outrageous action comedy. Blubberella is a heroine with a hatred of Hitler and a soft spot for cotton candy. Her footsteps cause explosions, and her jewel swords are used against anyone who makes fun of her.
Oh.
A mix-up at birth leads to Cinderella living a happy life whilst being replaced by the local orphan girl Blub. Blub might not have the have the looks of your average princess, but she makes up for that with both brawn and brains.
Jesus, okay.
Blubberella has no time for the patriarchy, let alone some prince, and she soon smashes a glass slipper on her way to shattering the glass ceiling.
That's good.
Or deep sea diver Mark Hollows has a score to settle. After his wife is murdered by a giant killer whale, he dedicates his life to vengeance against the creature known locally as Blubberella. An action thriller on the open sea.
Well, I think
that's Evan.
I think that's Evan as well, because Evan loves the sea. I think you did the sexy one. And I really do think that one you were reading about the Nazis feels real. I don't know why. I think it's so
which was
silly.
The Nazis were real.
Vampire-human hybrid takes on the Nazis.
Oh, right.
So locking that in for Beck.
That feels... Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
What was the first one?
First one was a space comedy romp based on Barbarella about an intrepid porpoise on a journey of sexual awakening throughout the galaxy.
It's getting more wrong.
Did you just want him to say that?
Because as we all know, dolphins be randy.
Mm. What was the second one? Sorry.
Second one was in the year 2084. 8-year-old Francis's parents sent him to hospital. He can't stop crying. That one, I think, was actually... That's actually a song by Chapman. Harry Chapman.
Yeah.
That was just the full lyrics to a Harry Chapman song. In the so year 2084, 8-year-old Francis's parents.
So many different interpretations of blubber.
Hmm.
Well, two.
Crying.
There's two. Well, crying and fish. Fat. Fish fat.
But also, like, yeah.
Mammal
yeah,
fat, really. Okay,
and Nazi okay. hating.
Okay. Yes, that's it. Okay.
That one's more abstract.
Maybe I'll go that one. Maybe I'll go the sci-fi tears.
Sci-fi tears.
Yeah.
In the year 2084.
Okay.
Evan.
All right. Oh, well, I think... First, I just want to acknowledge that the shattering of the glass slipper, like she shattered the glass ceiling. See, I am tired. is great.
That's a great line.
That's yes. a great line.
Very good, yeah.
It's like, whoever was that, well done.
Well, now I think...
I feel like it might have been Beck. I don't know. But I actually think I'm going to go for the ginormous breasts one. I thought that was you.
Because I, well, maybe it is.
But because I think that Blubberella does sound like a porn film.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely something to do with the Jane Fonda movie.
All right. Well, answers are locked in. Let's go through who wrote them. Comedy space romp based on Barbarella with the porpoise. Porpoise or perp? Porpoise.
Porpoise.
Porpoise. I think it's porpoise, yeah.
Man, that word is tricky.
It's really not.
That was Geraldine Quinn.
Oh!
That's what I thought you said, the sexy one. I thought that's what you meant.
No,
Rainy Dolphins.
No. I, well, look, I'll level with you. No, you keep saying answers.
All right. Deep sea diver Mark Hollows is after a giant killer whale who murdered his wife. That was Evan.
Yeah.
Just as Beck said straight away.
Yeah.
And as did I.
Yeah. Johnny said it before me.
Everyone.
You went straight for it.
Evan loves the sea.
I had no idea.
He loves Rachel Maddow and the sea.
My life, my love, and my lady, it's sea.
And as MSNBC.
Oh, I know. It's all making sense.
The B stands for Blubberella.
The mix-up at birth with the shattering glass. That was Peter in the House. I wrote that line. Thank you so much, Geraldine, for those sweet words.
That was good. I've just remembered I'm in a two-hour car spot.
There was no greater compliment than saying, I reckon Beck wrote that. Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, that's nice. No.
Geraldine went for the one with the giant blubbery breast. That was written by Beck Petratus. Happy birthday, Beck. And you hell committed yeah. to pretending it wasn't you.
I had a moment of, do you know what? Let's play the game. What if I tricked Geraldine into thinking I didn't write it?
But we both went for Barbarella.
Exactly.
Once.
I thought we would both go sexy things.
Sexy Barbarella.
It felt right.
Evan went for the one about the boy who couldn't stop crying. That was Peter in the House. Meaning the correct answer is a heroic vampire human hybrid takes on an army of Nazis.
No one look at the video. I just started dabbing to celebrate.
What?
So that means...
What the hell has that got to do with the name of the film?
Well, I didn't talk about that much, but she's really big.
That was what I was trying to get at the start of the question. I was like, no one do that's like... Yeah. That's on the filmmakers.
Yes. That's right. And, yeah, I will say that it is not a well-liked film. 13% audience, not enough critics have given it a score. But the star of the film, Lindsay Hollister, said she took the role saying that she started out with a bit of work, but then parts started drying up for bigger women like herself. And she said, I want people to know we weren't setting out to hate fat people. It's important for me that people know the true story because it got a lot of backlash, I'm guessing. She went on to say, this movie was made with the best intentions. I truly wanted to make a movie about a fat girl who could kick ass. But yeah, I don't think the filmmakers had the same vision and they did a lot of like pretty.
Well, I hope she's doing well.
Yeah. Well, I think, in that interview, she came out pretty well, but it's so grim that she has to come out defending. It's like, I just want to work.
Yeah.
And I wasn't it wasn't meant to be. Anyway, score update. Here's the final scores. In fourth place on 3 points, it's Evan Munro Smith.
Wow. Thank you.
You're on the board there, Evan.
I feel like it's
three times.
I feel like it's not good news from here on in, though.
Do you hate me and Geraldine?
For me,
Oh, for you.
In third place on 7 points is Geraldine Quinn.
How did that happen?
Well, you didn't get any points in the triple score last round.
I won in my heart.
Actually, no, hang on. And the house was also on 7. That means out in front on 11 points, it's birthday girl.
Thanks
for trading.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Giant boobs.
I forget. I think I changed the rules recently so the house can't get triple points. So that means me and Geraldine a draw. Anyway,
hey,
I'm making it harder for the house.
Everyone wants to say thank you to giant boobs.
I always, every day I wake up, I don't know why I did that. I just kiss the sky.
As the winner, Beck and the birthday woman.
Woman in the worst way woman has ever been said.
I was going to say birthday girl, but it seemed weird because you're 18,
I'm aged,
aren't you?
Now. Yeah, you're thank you so much.
Today you are of age. Woman.
So,
birthday.
I prefer
woman.
Birthday ma'am.
Birthday ma'am. Oh. Birthday memories. Yeah, so, ma'am, my birthday memories are coming in. What does that mean? I don't know. I grant you giant blubbery breasts. Happy birthday. All right. Yep. Please edit all that out.
Leave it in.
Where can people find you, Beck?
You can find me at Beckness on any platform, but particularly on Twitch, where I hang out and I do lots of silly
things. You make
things. Do you know what? Generally, I've stopped doing arty streams, and mostly all I'm doing is making a big mess. Usually, I am, there was one stream I did in a boat. No reason. People are looking for reasons. I was just in a boat in water, rowing around and talking and pretending to be a sea captain.
That's sick. You can do anything.
You can do anything, but don't do that because I hurt my whole body.
Oh.
Because you know you have to row in a boat?
Rowing takes a lot of it's strength.
I imagine like a motorboat wouldn't be ideal for streaming.
No. Oh, that sounds calming, actually. Mm. Fall asleep to that.
Evan would love it out in the sea. Evan, yes. Where can people find you?
Out in the sea. You can find me on Gamey Gamey Game is a show that I make about video games sometimes. It's on YouTube, on Stupid Old Channel, but if you just go to YouTube and search for Gamey Gamey Game, you'll find it.
Yep, say book Geraldine.
And everyone's been on. Geraldine's been on a couple of times. Beck's been on.
I've been on once.
Matt's been on. Have you been on once?
Once.
I was on the
Red
first
Dead
ever
Redemption
episode.
2.
Matt was on the first episode.
That was
yes,
it.
Red Dead Redemption 2. Great game.
But for some reason, Evan
never booked you again.
Didn't book me much after that. I don't know if it was anything to do. I mean, I've been on a few times.
Matt.
But also, I don't play video games, so it makes a lot of sense.
He hates gingers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is self-loathing.
Yeah.
And Geraldine, where can people find you?
You can find me on Geraldine Quinn.
Geraldine Quinn.
Or Geraldine Quinn official. And it's not because I got tickets on myself. It's because my name is so common. I can't always nab it on the socials. But I'm on TikTok.
Geraldine Quinn is not a... Is that a common name?
Are you joking?
It's no Matt Stewart.
It is in Ireland.
Wow.
Do you want to know how many spam emails I get for Dublin properties and racehorse breeding?
Okay.
A lot.
Can you forward them along?
Sure.
Yay.
I ended up actually setting up an automatic reply that just said, you have the wrong Geraldine
Quinn. I thought you were
going
to say you set up a horse fuck scenario.
What?
Horse breeding.
What kind of a website do you think I have? Anyway, I'm on TikTok and Instagram. I'm on whatever was Twitter.
I googled Geraldine Quinn and you are the only result. So aww. I think you made it up.
No,
there's
didn't.
No other Geraldine Quinns. Geraldine Quinn horse.
Then you're going to get something you don't want on your browser search history.
Wow, you really say don't say no to any roles.
What does that mean?
Wow.
She played a horse.
Oh, okay.
Pantomime. All cabaret people that turn to panto eventually.
It's the natural progression.
I think this episode's going to have a bunch of outtakes after the song. If you want to stick around, listen to some nonsense. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy birthday, Beck. Everyone say happy birthday, Beck, in the tweets. It'll be about a week and a half late, but... please give us a 5-star review, and in that review you could say happy birthday, Beck, if you wanted to. Tell your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy this show, and cheers for tuning in to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. Now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
Hey, is that a good start?
Get
sorry.
Them out, get them out, get them all out. Woo-hoo! This is going to be a high octane.
I couldn't sleep last night. I put in my ear Pokemon facts that go for an hour, and I do feel like I did lose my mind in my sleep last night.
Okay, well, I hope. Well, I think you've given away all that your answers are like Pikachu's mom.
Pikachu's mom, you idiot! Pikachu doesn't have a mum. They're a dad. Oh, you don't even.
I was going to say, Pikachu, if anyone's going to be a virgin birth, come on. Oh, wait, that means you have a mum. That means no dad.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, nah. Pikachu's in a tube. Pikachu was born in a Pikachu.
Virgin birth with no mum just means the dad sprogged him out fully formed.
Right down that narrow. Your eyes widened.
Also, Beck and Geraldine, there'll be some silences while you're writing. These will just get edited out.
I actually was just thinking it would be so nice to have a podcast in silence, but then I was like, oh, that's just silence. You can just not put anything in your ears.
I think, but it is funny that because you would be listening to other people being silent. Yeah. So it feels different.
It feels heavier.
Yeah.
I've had a book about community radio and it used to say, dead air is loud. And I was like, that's so deep.
Oh my God.
Well, I thought like for protesting, when you did like protests and you'd like not have anything playing, that's loud. But also then the backup tape would kick in. And at the station I used to work at, it was Totally Addicted to Bass. And that is loud.
Where was Senate was, or at least the year I was there, it was Blue
Juice's Vitriol. Blue Juice,
yeah.
But right. They changed it. They updated it to Addicted to Bass.
Because I still hear that song and it makes me feel a little Pavlovian. What do you call it?
Pavlov's dog kind of.
Yeah, it makes me feel Pavlov's dog, which I have on me always. Give him a little pat.
It's so interesting that it's what I'm about to say is not interesting, and okay. I started the sentence, but I'm committing.
Get
it's
ready.
So interesting that Pavlov sounds very similar to Pavlova.
It is, yes.
Isn't that interesting? And you could have a Pavlova dog. Pavlova's dog. I want a Pavlova dog.
Because that was a Pavlova's named after someone called Pavlov.
Is it really?
Yes.
A ballerina?
Ballerina.
Diana, are you playing your own game over there?
No.
That's so fun.
It's because it's a name that two different people have.
I can't believe that.
I'll never believe that.
Too fun for me.
Don't feed Pavlovas to dogs, okay?
No, but I'll make a dog owl Pavlova. That's okay. Is that kosher?
You make it out of chum.
What?
Yeah, make a dog, but it's a Pavlova-shaped dog.
Oh, yeah.
Dog-shaped Pavlova.
Yeah, How good are your meringues?
Oh, my meringues.
That wasn't a euphemism.
Good are your meringues?
Jeez, you got great meringues.
Oh, sweet meringue. Show us your Pavlovas.
I like your jacket, Beck. No one can see it, but I'll just... Thank you. It's great. It's Levi's. It's a Levi's Pokemon collaboration.
Okay, I'm going to track back a little bit on my compliment. Now okay, I know exactly right, what it is. Dad. I just thought it was pretty colours.
Oh, no. Now I'm an embarrassing.
I like your tattoo though.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that.
Oh,
don't explain what it is.
Okay,
I like
Pokemon.
It less now.
Pokemon.
No, it's cool. It's a horse in a flat cap and an interesting tweed combo, but short-sleeved tweed jacket.
Actually, a fun story goes along with that tattoo, Geraldine. Back when Beck was working at the project, they had a story.
How do you know this? You remember things I say. I don't remember things I say.
I rely on no one remembering anything I say.
There was a quirky story, I think, that was like a backup and it never quite made the air. Mm. And it became like a almost like mythical and legendary around the writer's room.
Mm.
And eventually it never made it to air, but Beck didn't want to let it go. So she immortalized it on her arm. In the form of a tattoo. Yeah.
Could you please say tattoo? Tattoo. As if there's going to be 250 pipers coming down the cobblestones any minute now.
Scottish tattoo. Jeez, we got the Scots on the brain.
Why not? It's a wonderful country.
You're Scottish, aren't you, Jeremy?
My mother's McCallum, yeah. But
McCallum?
Queen's
Irish. Don't give away your mother's maiden name, Geraldine.
It's not any of my secret questions.
Mine is. No one would guess my mother's maiden name.
I think I could.
It's secure. Do you think so?
It's yes.
Secure. You've never let it slip.
Is it Munro or Smith?
It's neither of those. That's the trick.
Start with a K.
It does start with a K. But I'm not saying anything else
I'm
about it.
I'm gonna do it. I want you to get Doc. I want all your passwords.
Was your mum? Is it Knupple? Richard Kind?
Knupple. Richard Kind.
Is that your mum?
I wish.
Cut that out.
Well, no, my mum's lovely. But Richard Kind. Richard Kind.
Imagine
it. Your mum is Richard Kind. That would change things.
Change things for Richard as well.
All of a sudden. Imagine that, having Richard Kind as your mum. Oh my God.
I think
that
a jib is just a fancy stick. And we all need to face up to this. It's Evan just with a big stick. And he just swings it around the studio.
I am just entering my macros in my app.
Are you really?
I really am.
I would say...
I did ignore a call from my dad.
It might have been important.
I think it's just to say happy birthday.
Oh, it probably is that.
Evan, I would say that a lot of people, you know, they... You get better results with a carrot than a stick, okay? So I reckon next time you're doing a shoot in the studio...
Use a carrot.
Yeah, use a carrot.
Yeah. Putting a carrot on the end of the jib actually is a great idea. I would look at the camera a lot more.
Do you have trouble with that?
Yeah, I'm like, I have no reason to look at that. Delicious carrot. There it is.
I don't have that problem because what I find in the rare times I've been allowed on television, and please put me on more often, I'm lovely. I'm a cabaret.
If Reg Grundy's listening.
I'm a cabaret artist, so I tend to look down the barrel too much because I want to make eye contact.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's up with Cats in the Cradle?
And the Silver Spoon.
Little Boy Blue, the Man of the Moon.
You okay? You gonna cry?
No, because I don't understand any of the words. It's all to me is just like, it's just like someone saying purple hippo in a hat. Where you go? Oh, look at that.
It's about fatherhood and it's about the relationship between a son and a father.
No, I think it's just random words.
No.
Music is interpretable.
No, it is about father and son relationship.
I think it's about...
The verses seem more clear, but the chorus particularly is... A bit more abstract, right?
I think it's okay.
But that's like the nursery rhymes that you tell to your to your child.
Oh, I thought it was just a cat in a bassinet.
No. Your cat's cradle is like the string thing you do with your hands.
No, right? Cats can sleep.
You're just being obdurate now.
I am. No, I just am. At first I wasn't.
You're being contrary.
No, I have. I've leaned into
contrary
the, I've leaned into the goofs. I'll admit it.
Beckery, quite contrary.
That's where Beck lives there.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so don't come around to her house and say, what?
Don't dox me.
Okay, I'm nearly done.
I won't, but Beck lives. And I'm glad she does.
Don't you dare tell them I live in the moment. Don't dox me. Don't dox where I am all the times.
Thanks, Matt Stewart.
Is there been a lot more clapping than usual episodes?
You can't say porpoise.
That's happened to me.
Poor.
Piss.
Porpoise.
No, like piss.
It's easier to say if you're not looking at it.
Yeah, right.
Like reading it is
porpoise.
You're overthinking the second syllable.
Porpoise. Yeah.
It does look like porpoise, but it's not.
Porpoise.
Porpoise.
Or in French, porpoise.
The other one I really struggle with is canal.
Anal.
Canal.
Everyone struggles.
Canal.
Everyone struggles.
Like the water?
Everyone struggles with anal.
Yeah. Canal.
Yeah, canal.
Canal. But it doesn't look like, if you look at it, it looks like canal.
How do you go with cabal?
Cabal. Canal. Cabal. Oh, cabal could help me there, actually.
Well, it's the only time that a cabal's ever helped anybody.
Cable.
Hey.
Cable.
I don't know what I was going to say about that.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Wait a second. Avoid. What about this cabal? Oh, no.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.